Mode One. This is Chloe Love, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
Girl, you're perfect, you're always worth it, and you deserve it, the way you work it.
What makes a man or woman want to erotically dominate their sex partners? What makes a man or woman want to be erotically submissive to one or more of their sex partners? Many feature films have featured storylines that emphasized what is known as erotically dominant, erotically submissive sexual relationships between men and women. This is otherwise known as the BDSM lifestyle, or some people refer to it as simply the S&M lifestyle. A few of those movies would be 50 Shades of Grey, starring Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson, 9 1/2 Weeks with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger, Blue Velvet, starring Dennis Hopper and Isabella Rossellini, and my personal favorite is Secretary, starring James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal, and there are a number of other feature films that feature storylines with an emphasis on erotic domination and submission. My guest for this episode is a woman who has an insatiable desire to be erotically dominated by men, not only by her beloved husband, but as many other male sex partners as she is given the opportunity to interact with. She is a popular blogger and podcast host, and recently she even began another career as a professional phone sex operator for many heterosexual men and even kinky couples. Her specialty is making men come. Whether it is face-to-face or over the telephone, she has a natural talent for provoking erotically dominant men to shoot a big load of cum out of their hard cocks. Who is this woman who loves to experience multiple orgasms and loves to even have others watch her get dominated and fucked publicly? I have no idea what her real name is, but she goes by the catchy pseudonym Chloe Love, and right now, you're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, otherwise known as the King of Verbal Seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
You have to be able to get her pussy wet, you know. If you can do that, then phone sex will naturally evolve. Women, for us, our sexuality starts in our minds. We're not visual as much as men are, so phone sex is something that has a lot of power over us if we do it right. More than anything else, you need to be able to turn off your brain and just get into the moment. And if you do that, then it matters that you're into it, and men want to know that they're desired by the woman that they're with. The king let me come 4 times for him today. I think I was a good, obedient bitch. Oh, I think I'm still coming, Daddy. Oh, it's the best thing in the world, coming for the king. I love it, Daddy. I love it.
Say that again.
Coming for the king. It's the best thing in the whole world. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, sir.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 12 of the Erotic Conversationalist. Glad to have you join me and listen in. One quick note about episode 11 with former Playboy radio host Maya Jordan. I was asked by Miss Jordan to remove episode number 11 for a number of her own personal reasons. That episode had been recorded and edited, but Miss Jordan informed me that after the recording session, she felt like our conversation, in her words, would compromise her brand. So she requested that I remove it from my website and not allow my fans and followers to listen to it. Now, out of respect for her, I did remove the episode. That is actually the second time in my history that I've removed an episode. If you notice on my website, episode number 3 featuring two strippers from Scores Strip Club in New York City was removed a few years ago. Now, actually, the strippers themselves did not ask for that episode to be removed, but it was their manager and publicist said that she felt like the interview and discussion made the two strippers look more like professional call girls than they did strippers. I didn't agree with that, but I went ahead and removed the episode anyway. But as far as Ms. Jordan, she herself requested that I remove that episode. Now, I have not spoken with Ms. Jordan since. I read on the internet that she no longer is a host for Playboy Radio. I do not know all of the details regarding that. I'll just make one comment about that episode and then I'll move on. There are many men and women who are talk radio hosts and or podcast hosts who are not their real selves on air. And I say this emphatically because I've met quite a few. There are a lot of people who host talk radio shows and or podcast shows that are not their real selves on air. What they do is they create a fabricated persona for their listeners and followers to buy into. But behind closed doors, they are a totally different person. For example, there are some women on radio who will present themselves as alpha females, but in reality, behind closed doors, they're more beta. Same with men. There are a lot of men who present themselves as strong, confident alpha males, but behind closed doors, they're more beta than they are alpha. And yours truly is not like that. I am one of those, what you see is what you get. And I think anyone who knows me in real life and has interacted with me face to face can vouch for me on this. I've never created a contrived persona just for my talk radio program or this adults only program, the Erotic Conversationalist. Anytime you have men and women who emphasize compromising their brand, what that lets you know, or at least lets me know, is that they are not being real and authentic with their audience. They are playing a role. I say, fuck that bullshit. That goes against what my Mo One philosophy is all about. Anyways, back to this episode at hand. This will actually be part one of a two-part discussion on erotic domination and submission, otherwise known as BDSM or S&M, as well as the ins and outs of engaging in hot, kinky phone sex and female masturbation. Most of you should know by now that in addition to me being a professional men's dating coach and book author, I am also what is known as a professional dominant sir, which is basically the male equivalent to a woman working as a professional dominatrix. I have female clients, and I also work with married and unmarried couples. I have a number of women who are clients of mine, as well as BDSM submissives of mine. I affectionately refer to my BDSM submissives as my obedient good girls or my obedient good bitches, and they refer to me as either Sir, Daddy, or the King. Now, in episode 13, my next episode, I will be chatting with three, not one, not two, but three of my obedient good bitches by the name of Joy, Lola, and Renee. But in this episode, I will be conversing with the very charismatic and sexy Miss Chloe Love.
Chloe, how are you?
Excellent, Daddy. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just excited for this interview and discussion because all the women who know me know that in addition to my love for fucking and my love for getting my dick sucked and pleasing women in bed, I also love hot, kinky phone sex. I understand you're just as big a fan of phone sex as I am. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I love phone sex.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to see if you know Daddy's backstory. If I was to ask you, since 1992 up until now, how many women Daddy has had phone sex with, what would be your guess?
Ooh, Daddy. I bet it's a lot. I would say over at least over 100 women. No?
100 since 1992? Wow. Okay, so
how many?
Say, Daddy, I've been a bad girl.
Oh, Daddy, I've been a bad girl already.
You didn't
sorry,
do your
Daddy.
Research.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
But I didn't obligate you, so I'm not gonna punish you too hard. But no, Daddy has had a phone fucked since the first year I really got a phone sex was 1992. Since then, I have phone fucked roughly 1,900 women.
Wow, Daddy, that's impressive.
Yeah. And a high percentage of those women have actually paid me money for me to phone fuck them.
That's hot, Daddy. So hot.
Let me ask you, Chloe, let me start off asking you, let's go back to your, when you were young, kind of get your backstory, your sexual backstory. At what age did you first recognize that you were a sexual human being? What's the first time you remember having a sexual thought, or the first time you realized you had a pussy you could play with?
May I answer, Daddy?
Yes, you may.
I was pretty young. I think I was probably about 10 when I started to masturbate and discovered that rubbing my pussy made me feel good. My first memories were in a hot tub and using the jets, pulling my bathing suit aside and putting my pussy right up to the water and just feeling that wave of pleasure. And that was probably my first experience orgasming. And then after that, I masturbated constantly, like obsessively. For years, actually, everywhere, in public bathrooms, at school, you know, in my bedroom, obviously, a lot. You know, anytime I could get a few minutes by myself, I started to play with myself and fantasize and think about sex and sexual things. And a lot of my references from my early masturbation fantasies came from movies and, you know, books that I stole from my mom and things like that. So,
did your mom read erotica?
Yes. She had a lot of books that were kind of on, you know, like she had The Story of O, which I read when I was probably about 12.
Wow.
And I know, right? Well, you know, she had them hidden, but girls are sneaky. So, and if it was hidden, then it must have meant it was better. So I found that book and I obsessively read that for years, actually. But she also had other books that just had sex scenes in it. Like I remember she read The Clan of the Cave Bears and there were some really graphic sex scenes, like kind of rough sex scenes, the claiming of women, things like that. And that's probably when I started to fantasize about, you know, being taken and more aggressive fantasies. It was all really early, before I even probably fully hit puberty. But right on that line, right when that was coming. So.
Wow, it sounds like you had a very open-minded, free-spirited mother. Did she ever
yeah.
talk to you about what turned her on and sexuality in general?
Well, I have an older sister also, and they're both really open about sex in general. I remember I used to make a joke to my friends growing up that I could go home and tell my mom I fucked the whole football team, and she'd be like, "Good girl," you know. So it was right, you know. So she was always really open about sex, but you know, she had us as teenagers, so we got a lot of lectures on like safe sex and things like that. But sex itself was never a shameful thing. It was never approached as a shameful thing. And then my parents were divorced and my dad was a Southern California bachelor. You know, he was a fireman. So he used my sister and I to pick up girls. And, you know, he was really obsessed with women. And I was really aware of that. So I think sexuality for me was something that just seemed like a natural part of adult life. You know, I don't remember. I remember hiding like masturbation, you know, because I had some pretty perverted thoughts and I didn't know at the time or think at the time that people would, I worried that people wouldn't think I was normal, you know? So, So there was some
before you go on, my obedient good bitch, give me one or two examples of a thought or fantasy you had as a young girl that you yourself would label, if only in a lighthearted manner, perverted.
I had a lot of rape fantasies early. You know, that was a big one for me, being sold at auction or claimed forced into different sex things. There were different movies that I had seen that had rape scenes in them, and I would put myself into that scene in my head. Some of them were really brutal. I remember there was a gang rape scene in a movie once. I don't even know what movie it was, but they took the girl into the woods and took turns fucking her. And I, to this day, use that image in my head to get myself off sometimes. You know, so I was raised in a really sex-positive home, which as a girl kind of meant that it was supposed to be an empowering thing. So that's the one part of my sexuality that I felt like was kind of repressed, was it didn't feel like it was okay to be claimed by a man. It felt like my mom had taught us that I'm in control of my sexuality, and I go out and I get what I want. And even from an early age, I wanted to be taken as opposed to giving myself. So a lot of my earliest fantasies that I was ashamed of came from that kind of stuff. You know, or I fantasize about my teachers or, you know, everybody. You know, if it was inappropriate, I fantasized about it. And I got off on that. Like the dirtier it was, or the more wrong it was, or the more shame I felt for it, the more it turned me on.
Oh, I like that. Now, let's go back to something you said I found interesting, because I always talk to my male clients about the notion of having a wingman, or even more preferable, a wing woman. And I know I've taught some of my female clients how to be a wing woman. So you basically said that at one point, you and your sister were wing women for your father. Give me a few more details on that.
Well, I can remember my dad taking us to the beach when we were kids, and he would, you know, point out he liked redheads. And so I remember he'd point out a girl, and he would tell us, go get, if we were at the beach, you know, talk to that girl, or go play around her, or, you know, any excuse he could have to put us closer to her would then allow him closer to that. Or if my sister and I, you know, would talk, we were really vivacious children, so we talked to a lot of people. So if we were talking to an attractive woman, my dad would kind of parlay off of that and start conversation with her. I think he used us to make women feel safer with him in a way, and kind of give that nurturing, you know, appearance. I mean, my dad's a good guy, you know, but he loves women. So, you know, I think we just kind of grew up with that. Like, I can remember one specific time being in a restaurant with him by the window, and he set his alarm off on his car right when this woman was walking by to get her attention, and then sent my sister out to, tell her it was okay, and, you know, and came out and talked to her right afterwards. So, you know, he would kind of just use us to, be an icebreaker for him with women that may have been less approachable. I don't think we really minded. You know, I mean, I don't remember thinking of it as a bad thing. It didn't make me feel uncomfortable.
So when did you consciously realize your father was getting a lot of pussy?
Probably about 12 or 13. You know, every summer we spent with my dad, and every summer he had different girlfriends, you know, or his neighbors. I remember they would babysit us occasionally, and they were really, you know, young, probably 20. You know, my dad was probably 30 or something. I don't know, maybe younger. But, you know, so by then I remember even being able to pick out his type, you know, probably about 12, you know, I bet he likes that one. Or all of his girlfriends were really nice to us. So I never saw it as a negative thing or a bad thing. You know, as far as him having sex with them and getting lots of pussy, I think that thought took me a little longer. It's interesting that I was so sexual in my imagination, and I masturbated a lot, but boys and, actually acting out my sexuality with people or in reality took me a lot longer. I was kind of shy, you know, in that way. So I was probably about 12 or 13. Yeah.
Okay. Now, your sister, when... Now, was your sister playing with her pussy first, and did she tell you the ins and outs of playing with your pussy, or you learned on your own?
I learned on my own, Daddy. Yeah, my sister, actually, we spoke recently about this. She's never been much of a masturbator, but she was always really into boys really early. And so she had a lot of early sexual experiences that she would talk to my mom about in front of me. And then a lot of times I would use that for fuel to masturbate with, you know, putting myself into the scenario. But yeah, no, I discovered masturbation on my own. It felt good. I don't think anybody taught me, or it was just like a just self-discovery, you know, Daddy, like, ooh, I have a pussy and it feels good. So from that point forward, I just obsessively played with it. And
when you were young, did you ever have anybody walk in on you by accident and catch you playing with your pussy?
Yes, Daddy, more than once. I have my, actually my stepdad walked in. My stepdad caught me playing with my pussy. He walked in and then shut the door once, but I wasn't aware of it. And then I was in the car with my mom the next day, and my mom told me that had happened. And I was super embarrassed, you know, of course, at first, you know. And she told me that, you know, I should be more careful. And, you know, I think that was probably the realization for her that I was masturbating and masturbating regularly. But for me, it was hot to be caught playing with my pussy. So I actually fantasized about that for a while afterwards.
Oh,
walked in and, wow, my stepdad caught me playing with my pussy. It's true. Oh. And then I actually remember one other time, oh, Daddy, this is really embarrassing. I've never told this story, but this is how obsessed I was. All right, Daddy. All right, I remember once my whole family was sitting on the couch, and we were watching a movie, and it had a sex scene in it, and my room was at the very end of the hall where you could, like, open your door and still see the TV down the hall. So I went to my bedroom and I opened the door and the lights were off, and I stood in my bedroom and watched the TV and masturbated, but I was too far away. So I grabbed a stool from my bed or from my bedroom. Oh my gosh. And I put it behind the couch and I sat behind my family and masturbated to this movie where I'm sure that they knew what I was doing, but it was just another example of how I had so little self-control over how good it felt that even knowing that they knew that, and even all these years later, it's kind of like, oh, I can't believe I did that. So I just didn't have a lot of, nothing was going to stop me. You know, I would go to the city pool in the summer and, you know, pull my bathing suit aside and put myself underwater and use the jets to get myself off at a public pool. Like, I just didn't have that thing in me that said, maybe this isn't a good idea, or maybe I did have that in me, but it was just overpowered by the fact that it felt so good to get myself off. I don't know, Daddy. I was shameless, shameless.
I like that in you.
Daddy, you know how to get a girl's pussy wet, don't you? You know how to get my pussy wet. You want to hear how wet it is, Daddy?
Yeah, I want to hear you play with your pussy.
Oh, you want to hear? It's pretty wet, huh?
Ooh.
Sopping.
Ooh.
I've been edging for you all morning, Daddy.
You know what I think? I think you're not going to be able to relax a bit until I make you come at least once, so I want you to be a good bitch and make that pussy come for Daddy.
Ooh, Daddy, okay.
Say thank you, Daddy, for giving me permission to come.
Yes, Daddy, okay. I'm rubbing my pussy with my fingers. It's really wet and sore. Oh, I'm going to come really fast, Daddy.
No, you got to ask my permission. Say, Daddy, can I come?
Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Okay. Oh, Daddy, can I come? Oh, please. Oh.
Yes, be a good bitch and make that pussy come for them.
Come, Daddy.
Oh, that's right. Be a good bitch and comfort daddy.
Ready for you, Daddy.
You love making a pussy come for Daddy, don't you?
Oh, God, Daddy, so much. I love coming for you. I love coming for the king.
Who's the king?
I love coming for the king. I love being your obedient good bitch, Daddy. I love how my pussy comes for you, Daddy. Oh, that feels so good, Daddy. You were right, Daddy. I feel much more relaxed now. Thank you, Daddy. I love thinking about you hard, Daddy. That you have a big, fat, juicy cock. For me.
Say it again.
I love thinking about your big black cock. I love thinking about you hard for me, Daddy. So much. Daddy.
The head of my cock right now just looks like a nice, juicy plum sitting on the shaft. You like plums?
Oh, I do, Daddy. I love your plum.
Listeners, you just hear how excited she is and how wet she is. I think I'm going to have to make her come quite a few more times before this conversation is over. Okay, now, when was the first time you sucked a boy's cock? How old were you?
15. I just turned 15. And I just moved to a new state. And, you know, I was very sexual at that point. But I didn't have a lot of sexual experience yet. I'd only touched a guy's penis, you know, and it was literally like touch and that was it, giggle, you know. And I really liked this boy. He was older than me, and we were in his car, and it's the first time I remember, and I remember I had told him I had already done it, and I was really concerned with doing a good job at it. And I didn't have a lot of reference, but I knew I was supposed to get as much in my mouth as I could, and, you know, as much of his cock in my mouth as I could, Daddy.
Say it again.
I tried to put as much of his cock in my mouth as I could, Daddy. And I choked a little, and he didn't make any noises, and I had no confirmation that I was doing good, and I didn't know he was going to come, and when he did, it was just like, you know, I didn't expect it. But I remember feeling just a lot of pride, like I had done it. I had not just sucked a guy's dick, but I had swallowed his cum. I had made him cum. And that feeling of power of making a man cum, that was probably the first time I realized how intoxicating that is and, you know, how much that gets me off, that ultimately having a man be aroused for me and then getting him off, sucking his cock till he comes, like, that's what does it for me. So then I got pretty adventurous after that, and I sucked a lot of dick for a while.
Say that again.
I sucked a lot of dick for a while after that. A lot of dick, Daddy. They called me the head queen.
I like that. Tell Daddy and my listeners how much you love sucking cock.
It's honestly, Daddy, it's one of my favorite things to do. I perfect it. I want to please a man. I want to suck his dick better than anybody ever has before. Like, I put everything into it. I love it. I love it. I love pleasing a man. I love hearing that little noise right before they come and their cock gets harder. And I love it. It's just, it's like the ultimate good girl. You know, Daddy?
Well, I like that. I like that. Okay, now, did you have intercourse for the first time before you sucked cock for the first time, or did that come after?
It came after, not long after, though. I was messing around with this boy and his friend at the same time. I was 15. And we would, like, on Friday night, you know, I lived in one of those towns where everybody would kind of drive the loop and then meet in parking lots and stuff like that. And I remember at the end of the night, we would all sit in the front seat of his car. And I didn't really like his friend, so I would only let his friend touch me from, like, the waist up. I really liked this other boy, so, you know, it started with blowjobs and, you know, being fingered by him, which I loved right away. And eventually we had sex. I lost my virginity in the passenger seat of my car outside of his house. And it was awkward, you know, of course, because I had no idea what to do. And I think that was the thing for me, is I learned pretty early how to attract men and that I wanted to be sexual. But then when things got sexual, I had no idea what to do. So, you know, I think I was probably a cold fish, you know, just lay there and let him do it. And the condom broke halfway through and I made him stop. And I remember he told me he had another condom, and I was just like, no, I'm done. You know, like, I don't want to do anymore. And we never had sex again after that. And that's actually, you know, how I lost my virginity. And the one good thing that came out of it is it gave me a lot of mental things to think about why I didn't like it and why it was uncomfortable, because I knew that I wanted to have sex again. I just didn't want it to be awkward. It took me a while before it wasn't awkward, but it took me a while before I had a man that took control of me too, Daddy. And I've definitely found as I get older that when it comes to actual fucking, I need a man that can take charge. I need a man that is going to fuck me, you know, especially in those early days. And I just don't think there's a lot of teenage boys like that. So, Daddy, I love to be dominated, Daddy. I love it. I love to be dominated. So my first experience with that wasn't long after that, though, I guess, because I was working as a waitress. I was still 15. And I started sleeping with my boss, who was 30. And I didn't realize at the time, but he had just been separated from his wife, and he was in an apartment by himself. And I would go there after work, and he was the first guy that fucked me doggy style, or, you know, pushed my head down on his cock while I'd suck it. And, you know, those were the moments that I realized that that was the kind of sex that I wanted and needed. And he taught me a lot. You know, I know that in our society, it's not looked at as a positive thing for an adult man to sleep with a 15-year-old, but for me personally, it was the best training. He was so good for me and so good for my self-confidence and teaching me, like, my own body and sex. And I think about him a lot still, Daddy, because, you know, he taught me a lot and he opened me up.
Turned you out.
He did. He did, you know, but that's what I wanted. I had all these, you know, sexual feelings inside of myself, and for a long time, only masturbation was giving me the pleasure that I was seeking, and my relationships with men were kind of disappointing. And then I met him, and, you know, sex changed for me. It taught
me
that there were other ways.
And
he was
on his way to 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. And he was your boss.
He was my boss. Yes. And I worked as a waitress in a little diner. And I remember he, like, once sitting on his desk in the office and filling out, you know, a fake application for a job and putting things on it like, I will suck sir's dick, and I will please him and let him fuck my ass, and, you know, all of the different things. He was the person that taught me to talk dirty and that there were other things besides just sucking dick and taking dick, you know. He taught me to ride him, and it was a new experience. Everything about it was amazing. So
did he fuck you in the ass?
he tried. We never got very far. It hurt really bad. And one thing I look back on now, being older and more experienced with sex, is he didn't train my ass. You know, he just tried to stick it in. And that's not how anal sex works in the beginning. So he got it in a few times, but it hurt a lot, and I begged a lot. And I think usually he'd let me off the hook and fuck my pussy instead.
Mm-hmm. He said he would just put your head down on his cock and make you suck it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was my
bitch.
Favorite.
Oh, I like that.
He pushed my head down and make me suck his cock. Daddy, it was so hot.
Your pussy getting wagging,
yeah. You can tell, can't you, Daddy? Yeah. Daddy, can I start playing with my pussy again? Please, Daddy. Daddy, can I play with my pussy again? Please?
Who's the fucking king?
You're the fucking king.
Say it again.
You're the fucking king. Daddy's the king. Daddy knows how to take care of my pussy. Yes, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. I love your black cock, Daddy. Oh, I love it. Big, fat, black, juicy cock. Oh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. 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 I got a good
love
story from Daddy. Can I tell you a story?
Yes,
I remember from once when I was 17, I was at this party, and it was a football party, you know, all the big football players and the popular kids, and I was kind of still awkward and nerdy, and I remember these two football players, they kind of cornered me, and, you know, I got off on that, like I wanted to be an object for them, and they took me in this bedroom, and, you know, I was really worried about, you know, being perceived as a slut, so... I told them I would only suck one of their dicks, but that the other could watch. So I remember that was my first big black juicy cock was the football player, and I got on my knees, and he sat on the edge of the bed, and the other football player got in the closet, which I don't know why, but I looked out of the closet, and I sucked his dick, and the guy came out halfway through and started playing with my tits, and I remember being a little bit scared, you know, but super turned on by that. And there was this moment where I just realized I didn't care what happened, that I was just going to enjoy the moment. And it actually worked out pretty good. I made football player number one come, and football player number two jerked off and came all over my clothes and leaving the party. And I was covered with cum, and everybody was looking at me, and I didn't even care. It was like my first slut moment where I realized, it was an extension of those early masturbation things, Daddy, where I just didn't care. I wanted to get off, and I wanted to be satisfied sexually more than I cared if people knew or called me a slut or judged me for it.
So that was a hot memory. The football players black?
No, one of them was white. I think he was the guy that was in the closet. I think he was the quarterback. And then the other guy was he was black. He was really cute. He had a girlfriend, too. She was in one of my classes. And I remember that kind of made it hotter for me. And even when people talked bad about me at school after that, it was like, I kind of liked it. I kind of liked being a bad girl. I'd always kind of been the good girl, you know, got good grades. And, you know, I looked naive and good. And so people never assumed that for me. So I don't know. I didn't mind. I didn't care. We never repeated it, although I would have in a heartbeat if I'd have been given a chance. And I remember his girlfriend came after me, and I wasn't a fighter at all. She did not like me. So I still masturbate to that story. And it's weird because what I think about the most is that guy that was in the closet, you know, watching. And that was probably one of my first realizations that I wanted to be watched, that I wanted to perform sexually for other people.
Mm. Okay. Speaking of that, what's the most people you've ever fucked in front of?
Oh. Well, this is one of my favorite things to do, and I'm pretty adventurous. So I'd say probably about 50. at a sex party. But that's kind of my thing is, you know, we go to some private parties, you know, over the years. We've developed friendships with people that are in the kink community, and I'm kind of the one that's my job, that's my role. Like, I want to suck cock in front of a room full of people, and I want to take a shower in a glass room and have guys watch or have them jerk off on me or watch them, or, you know, being watched getting fucked is just hot, you know, or anything where there's an audience. Yeah, I'm always, like, extra turned on for that, you know. Definitely. But there's something about doing a sex party where it's kind of expected. My ultimate goal is to fuck in front of people in places where they're not expecting it, which is a little harder to accomplish sometimes. So,
one of my most infamous public stories, I had a woman suck my dick in a grocery store.
And
I had just met her 15 minutes prior to that. And that's where my whole Mode One, Daddy's first book is called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And that's one of the things that cemented my legend in college that ultimately led to me writing that book was, I was known for meeting women at, say, 8 o'clock, and by 8:15, 8:25, that woman would either be sucking my dick or we would be fucking.
Daddy, can I ask you a question about
that? I'm sure
you may. Thank you. Do you think that's because you have an eye for women that are sexual, or do you think it's that you can turn any girl into your sexual slave? Daddy.
I'd say it's a little of both. Yes, I do read women. I read their mood. I read how they respond to me. And the first thing, little trick, and I teach my male clients is, first thing I do is I get into a woman's space. Most body language experts say that 3-foot radius that surrounds us is considered our space. So I purposely get into a woman's space and I see how she responds to that. So for example, if I get into a woman's space and I see that the first thing she does is lean back or takes a step back, I know that means she doesn't trust me yet. There's right. Something about my presence that's making her wary. So in that situation, I'm not going to immediately start talking to her in an explicit manner. I'm going to get her to trust me more. But if I get into a woman's space and she stays in the same spot or even takes a step towards me, then I consider that my green light. And what I do is I go for what I call, teach my male clients, I refer to this as the left ear zone. Matter of fact, if you see the cover of my audiobook, Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction, you'll see a photograph of a guy whispering into a woman's left ear. That's my big thing. Once I talk to her, once a woman allows me to get close enough to talk to her in the left ear, it's like that's all she wrote. I'm going to just start talking about how I'm a fucker, how I'm going to make her mouth be a good bitch, how she's going to suck my dick on command. And some women, they just, I had one woman, I had her so wet, she was just dripping onto the floor. So that's how I usually operate. Now, it sounds like your mother and your older sister were pretty open-minded and free-spirited, so it doesn't sound like they were too much of the prudish types. But was there anybody in your life as a young girl, say a friend of the family, an uncle, somebody at a church you went to, that tried to impress upon you to present yourself to men and present yourself to society as a prudish good girl?
Yes, Daddy. My grandparents, my dad's parents were really religious. So, I mean, and like, so religious that being at their house was strictly Bible, you know, everything we read from the Bible. And, you know, I remember once when I was about 13, my dad would have my sister and I have our portraits taken every summer, and we had it done. And then my grandmother wrote a letter to my mom saying that we sat with too much pride and didn't value our bodies enough, and that we would never find, you know, traditional husbands, good marriages, if we didn't learn prudence and that was a big theme. But what I remember most about that was how angry my mom got, you know, and how inappropriate my mom thought it was for my grandmother to judge us that way. So even though, like, we got a lot of lectures about that from my grandmother in the summer, we had so many people that were kind of countering that, that I don't think it was effective at all, obviously. but yeah, definitely. You know, they had a very traditional relationship. You know, the mother stayed home, raised babies, and the father went out of the home, and you only have sex with your husband, you wait until marriage, and that and you won't be valued as a woman if you're used, if you're sleeping with other men, no husband will want you. Yes, my dad's father was a preacher, and they had a church within their house, and so their entire household was based on the Bible and religion. And so in the summers when we would visit my dad would take us to his parents' house and drop us off, and my grandmother would lecture us a lot. I think that for her, she saw us because we weren't raised that way. You know, my mother didn't raise us that way, so we were both, my sister and I were both really friendly and early sexualized. And so my grandmother would put a lot of emphasis on, you know, if we slept around and if we didn't wait for marriage, that our value as women would be less and that no respectable man would marry us and we couldn't have happy marriages because we'd be damaged. So, you know, we heard a lot of that from her, and she would write letters to my mom and, you know, criticize us. But my mom's approach or response to it was always, that's hogwash, that's crap, you know, and my mom was always so open sexually that I think that just countered that, and we saw my grandmother as being from a different generation and that she didn't understand, and it was never something I internalized. But at the same time, even now I like to know that I can fit into any situation. So I tend to do sexy well, but I don't necessarily be slutty, you know. So if I go out, I wear form-fitting dresses and high heels, and you know, I'll show cleavage, but I'm not the girl ever to wear, you know, the shortest dress possible where you turn over, you know, you bend over and you can see my pussy. Or like I kind of learned early on how to tease and how much value there was as a woman in teasing before you got to sex. So, and because a lot of my early sexual experiences were kind of awkward and I wasn't getting what I wanted, I learned to tease longer and longer. So that was pretty much my game for a long time, was to arouse men and get them to a point where they were really, really sexually into me, and then keep pushing that before I would give it up. So I think that there's always been a part of me that could cleverly disguise myself as a good girl and that saw the value of that in that context, you know, of other people's perceptions. I personally, though, I've never based my value on how many partners I've had or, you know, it's just a game. So, the fun game. Daddy, can okay. I play with my pussy?
Oh, yeah, play with that juicy pussy.
Train me to love your big black cock, Daddy.
Say it again.
Train me to love your big black cock, Daddy. Train me. I love it when you train me to please you.
Say that again.
I love it when you train me to please you, Daddy. Oh, my pussy is so swollen, Daddy.
Well, when you play with your pussy, do you use your fingers or do you use a toy?
Oh, Daddy, I like to use my fingers, but toys are fun too. Depends. It's a different type of orgasm. Oh. So when I was growing up, I only used my fingers. And so that's how I learned to get myself off quickest. Oh, that clit orgasm, you know. I'd masturbate to the sound of my stepdad fucking my mom a lot.
Oh,
so dirty, Daddy.
Love it.
Oh.
I bet you wanted to suck his dick too, didn't you?
Oh, Daddy. Yes, Daddy, yes, I did. Yes, sir.
So I wanted to suck my stepdad's dick.
Oh, it's so dirty, Daddy. I wanted to suck my stepdad's dick. Oh. I'm a dirty girl. Oh, Daddy.
Oh, love, how nasty. Nasty like that.
Yes, sir.
Tell me how wet that pussy is.
Oh, sopping wet, Daddy. Sopping. Oh, so wet, Daddy. My favorite thing to do with my dildo is to fuck my pussy with it. And then I have phone sex. I like to hold the phone down so Daddy can hear it. The dildo slide in and out. You want me to do that for you, Daddy?
Yes, I could pitch to that.
Okay. Let me get my toy. Oh. Okay. All right. I'm just going to slide it in. Oh, God. How do you like that, Daddy? Should I keep doing it?
Oh, that's fucking hot.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so close to coming again. But I won't. I won't. I'll ask Daddy.
That's right. You gotta always ask Daddy for permission to come.
Yes, sir. I'll always ask you to come, sir. Oh, I'm just going to fuck my pussy really slow.
Who's so I don't. King?
Daddy's the king. Oh, Daddy, you're
Say
the
it
king.
Again.
Oh, Daddy, you're the king. Oh, you're the king. You are the king. Oh, my pussy's so wet for you, Daddy. Sure. Oh, I love playing with my wet pussy for you, Daddy. I think I'm gonna end up squirting all over this dildo, Daddy.
Squirt all over that dildo.
Can I fuck myself hard with dildo, Daddy? Squirt for you.
Yes, make that pussy squirt for Daddy.
Yes, Daddy. I'm gonna hold the phone so you can hear. Okay. Can I come, Daddy? Oh, God, Daddy. Daddy, please let me come, Daddy, please, sir.
Go ahead and come for Daddy. Come for me.
I wish you could feel how wet I am. Fuck, I just squirted all over my bed, Daddy. Oh, I'm going to take a picture, send it to you. Oh, I sprayed my pussy juice all over my bed for you, Daddy. Oh, my God. Oh, it's still coming. Oh, God. I love coming for you, Daddy. My body's shaky. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so good.
Tell my listeners how you play with your pussy the other night thinking about Daddy's big fat dick in your pussy.
I did, Daddy. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, first, I left my panties on and I just rubbed my clit in big circles with my panties as a barrier until I was so wet. So wet. And then I pulled my panties to the side with my left hand and I stuck a finger inside my pussy and I moved it around in a circle and I got myself super close to coming for you, Daddy. And then I started rubbing my clit again and I pictured your big, fat, juicy cock right above my mouth. Or I could stick my tongue out and just lick the crown. Take some of that pre-cum, taste you. Oh, and then I started playing with my pussy more. And I imagined you saying, come for me. Oh, sir. And then I came. Hard. Oh, God. And I took my fingers and I just fucked myself with them as hard as I could. As I was coming, I felt my pussy just grip onto him. I thought about your big, black, juicy cock, sir. Oh, God, what it would feel like just having, oh, put the head in. Jeez, me, I said, oh, how hard it would come. Daddy's so good to me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My body feels so good, Daddy.
Say it again.
My body feels so good, Daddy. So good. My pussy feels good.
Thank God for making you come a second time.
Thank you, Daddy, for letting me come a second time. Thank you. Daddy's good to me. Oh, sir. Oh, thank you for letting me squirt my pussy juices all over. Oh, so hot, Daddy. I want to be hot for you.
Now, let me ask you, Malbianca, bitch, when did you first become familiar with the BDSM lifestyle?
Sorry, sir. Just one second. Let me take a deep breath. Well, I think... By the time I was 17, I was reading a lot of BDSM books and stories. So it was about then that I knew that that's what I wanted and that that was out there and that it was attainable. But it took me another couple of years. You know, I went to school and I went to college in Minnesota, and it was kind of a conservative school. And, you know, I just really didn't know how to get what I wanted from guys. You know, I didn't know how to find dominant men, and I didn't know how to determine between, you know, somebody that was going to dominate my body sexually and then somebody that wanted to dominate my life or take control of me, which was something that I was kind of afraid of when I was younger, you know, losing my will. And so I was about 20, 21 before I had my first real BDSM experience with spankings and being tied up and, you know, calling a man sir. It was just incredibly hot to me. And after that, I just wasn't really capable of getting off with vanilla sex. Like, once I had a taste of that, that was all I ever wanted. So, but it took until I met my husband, you know, I was 21, before I met somebody that was skilled enough to dominate my body and lead me down that path and help educate me, you know, in what I wanted and how I would get it and what my limits were and how to push those. You know, it's a journey, definitely.
So, Daddy, how much it turns you on to be just completely dominated by a man?
It's my favorite. My favorite, sir. Oh, well, you know, I can be a little high-strung sometimes during the day. You know, I'm good at my job and I'm in control. And so when I get into a sexual situation and a man is dominant over my body, it flips a switch in my head and I go to this place where it's sexual and everything is about the way it feels. And my thinking brain turns off. And to me personally, Daddy, it's the most satisfying feeling to be able to just turn off my thinking brain and put my body in the hands of somebody that's going to bring me to a sexual place that I can't get to on my own. It just does it for me. And, you know, the first second where I flip that switch is like as soon as it gets rough, as soon as, you know, I lose my breath because he holds my head down on his cock with it in my throat and I feel like I'm going to pass out and I'm going to get lightheaded. And so for me as a woman, that's the moment where my pussy floods and, you know, everything just kind of turns to pleasure and pleasing and sex. I love it. I love it, Daddy. It's just, for me personally, it's the only kind of sex worth having. I want to be used. That's my kink, you know. I want to be objectified and used. And I want to be a plaything, and the best plaything, and please you. That's my goal. It gets me off.
Oh, I love that. I love that attitude in you. When was the first time that you engaged in an episode of hot, kinky phone sex? Was it while you were a teenager? Was it when you were in your 20s? When did phone sex begin to fascinate you?
Well, I had a few experiences with phone sex in my late teens, but it was really awkward, you know, and I didn't know how to vocalize the things that I wanted. So a lot of it was me giggling and not being sexy at all, I don't think, Daddy. I was probably in my 20s before I had the sexual confidence to be able to, you know, have phone sex properly where I actually got myself off and, you know, enjoyed it. And even then, I think my first occasions of it, I needed a man to be able to lead me there the first few times because it was so new to me. And women just aren't taught to express ourselves verbally sexually or to ask for what we want in those ways. So for a while, it was uncomfortable and awkward. And when I started to really get into it, it kind of opened me up in a lot of ways. I was more capable of asking for, you know, what I wanted or to talk openly about sexual fantasies that I had that up until that point I was, you know, a little reluctant to share. So and then after that, of course, phone sex became something that I love. You know, it's like foreplay.
Now, I read on your blog that either you have been or you're leaning towards becoming a professional phone sex operator. What motivated that desire in you?
I have been working as a professional phone sex operator for the last 2 years. I think, you know, I kind of fantasized about phone sex. I had this vague idea when I was growing up that a phone sex operator, my sister and I had called one once when I was about, you know, probably about 13. And, you know, I don't know that we really knew what to say or do. And we were just kids, but it was always kind of in my head that, you know, men would call and as a woman I could get them off with phone sex. So the idea really appealed to me. And about 2 years ago, I was in a dirty conversation in DMs on Twitter with a friend. And he said, you know, you'd make a great phone sex operator. And I thought, wow, do they still have those? And immediately I was like, I want to do this. I want to try this. And so I started to just do some research on, you know, what kind of companies there were and how it worked and if it was safe and, you know, what it would be like. And within a couple of weeks, I had a job with a company that's been around for a long time, and I was taking calls as a phone sex operator. It's been exciting and odd and weird and great. And, I mean, I don't know. It's just been, an amazing experience for me. But it isn't, a lot of times it isn't what people think either. So it's a good lesson.
Mm. Now, have you ever had bisexual sex with another woman?
I have, Daddy. Lots of bisexual sex. This is my other kind of kink. Like, I'm very good at picking up women for threesomes. Maybe like you, Daddy, I can kind of perceive women that are more open to it and into me. And I just started, you know, when my husband and I got together, he would sleep with other women. And I was really struggling with the jealousy aspect of it. And at the same time, I really wanted to have my own experiences with women. And I had never really had a chance other than, you know, one awkward threesome where the girl and I barely touched. And, you know, it was more like two girls having sex with the same guy, but we weren't together. And I always felt really disappointed by that. I wanted to taste a woman's pussy, and I wanted to make a woman come, and I had all these desires for those things. So we started having threesomes, and at first it was, you know, a little scary, honestly. Like, I think you worry you'll do something wrong or that she'll judge you or, you know, that it'll be uncomfortable. But since then, I've had 100 threesomes like that, you know, a ton. I've, you know, licked Sir's balls while he fucks another girl, or made her come with her pussy in my face while he fucks me in the ass. Or I even had a girl fuck me with a strap on once while he fucked her. That was hot. I tried to do that once though to a girl, Daddy, and I didn't like it. It turns out I'm submissive to women too, so that's something I learned. But yeah, I've had lots of experiences with women. I love making a girl come almost as much as I love making a man come. Not quite.
So are you a good pussy licker?
I am. Yes, I'm very good, Daddy. Very good. I get in there, I get the job done. I mean, you know, a woman knows another woman's pussy almost as well as her own. So there's a few tricks that I always try right away. Like, you know, most girls like that, like when you flatten your tongue and you go from the entrance of her pussy all the way up to, like, the knob on her clit, you know, and just kind of really slowly drag your tongue across it. That's usually my go-to first move with girls when I'm with them for the first time. I haven't found one that doesn't like that yet, so...
So, thinking about some of your past phone sex conversations, what would you say are two or three of your top 10 fantasies, scenarios that were discussed that just really got you off?
Well, you know... Okay, let's see, some of my favorite phone sex calls. Well, not all callers call me to hear me come. So my favorite are always the ones where a guy wants to hear me get off. One of the ones that comes to mind first is I had a caller once, and it was one of my first calls, and he wanted to know about my sexual history, kind of like you, Daddy. And he asked me about my early masturbation and asked me about, like, what it was like in the girls' locker room in high school. And, you know, we talked about things like that. And so by the time I got, you know, we got deeper into the call and he wanted to hear me come, I was so worked up already talking about that stuff and being so open with a complete stranger about things that, you know, at a time in my life had been really, really personal to me. So it got me to a place where I didn't have any boundaries left up. I didn't have any walls. And I was able to just let go completely into the orgasm and into the fact that I could hear him getting off behind, you know, mine. And it's just really, really hot. You know, sometimes it's not the most detailed fantasy that gets me there. It's that slow walk down a sexual path until you build to a point where you just want to explode. And then on the other extreme of that, Daddy, I've had situations where I had a guy do a tickle fetish with me where, you know, he slowly walked me through these soft touches and kind of the, you know, parts of your skin that are super sensitive, like the insides of your arms and then to my breast, and then kind of incorporated tickling with it and giggling with it and making it something that was, you know, a combination of being aroused and then also being, you know, giggly and kind of feeling that fun, ticklish feeling. And then he had me take my finger and feel around my belly button and tell him, you know, how deep it was and how deep my finger went. And then he had me fuck my belly button with my finger. And I don't know if it's because you can feel like a direct line to your clit, like I'm doing it right now, and I can feel it, like it hits my clit. There's some kind of muscle connection. And so I think just the uniqueness of that, like I came so hard, so fucking hard, Daddy. Like, it was amazing. From fucking my belly button, which at the same time was something I'd never, if somebody had told me that that was possible, I probably would have giggled and said, no, I could never do that. But by the end of an hour and a half long call, I did do that. And afterwards, it was like I was glowing and kind of shaking for hours. It was so intense. That was probably my favorite moment so far in phone sex. Paid phone sex, anyway.
Now, what's you've already told me some of your more kinkiest activities. Still along the lines of fantasies, give me one or two fantasies that you frequently thought about, but you never to this day acted on yet.
Well, I never slept with my stepdad.
that was hot listening to you talk about it.
I never sucked my stepdad's dick. I've wanted to suck my stepdad's dick. I'm a dirty girl, Daddy. I wish, Daddy. Oh, okay. So some of the things I fantasize about that I've never done. probably one of my favorite fantasies is being auctioned off. And, you know, I love the thought of being on the auction block and being talked about like an object and felt, and have somebody stick their fingers in my pussy to see how tight it is, and talking about me as an object. Like, you know, her pussy's pretty tight, or I can see, you know, whatever it is. Like, I play it out in my head. And then to come, I usually visualize that first time, you know, with that person that buys you. And there's something about a selfish lover, a man that takes what he wants from my body and uses it for his own satisfaction without regards to my pleasure, that does something extremely, like, arousing to my body. That's what I want. That's my trigger. That's my kink, you know. So a lot of my taboo fantasies that I think about are the extreme versions of that. Rape fantasies, gang rapes, being turned out, you know, being forced to perform for other people, or doing things that I don't want to do, but I have to do because daddy asked me, and, you know, he expects it from me. And if I want to be daddy's little girl, then I have to do these things. And that coercion, you know, being blackmailed or anything like that. Like, in real life, I don't want to be blackmailed by my boss, but I set my masturbate to it a lot. So, and, you know, sometimes daddy, I think about, like, the grossest, ugliest, fattest guy raping me, and I still get off to that. It's just something about not having a will in it and being taken that just does it for me.
Well, you know what? It's funny. You're not alone, because I did an episode on one of my shows where I talked about how when I was in college, I took a human sexuality class. And probably the most interesting class I remember in that course was our teacher was telling us about the fantasies of men versus the fantasies of women based on various surveys and questionnaires, et cetera. And the most enlightening thing for the guys in the class was along the lines of what you just described. He said, a professor said, most people would be surprised because men typically get stereotyped in society as the hornier sex and the kinkier sex. But he said, based on fantasies, that's not true. He said, women's fantasies are 5 to 10 times kinkier than most men. And because he made us laugh, because he said most of men's fantasies is just a variation of the same thing. Sex with two or more women. Sex with two or more women in the bedroom. Sex with two or more women in public. Sex with two or more women at the beach, on a plane. Everything to do with men's fantasies had to do with sex, two or more. Although I interviewed this woman named Dr. Susan Block. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's a sex therapist, real popular. She said nowadays, guess what one of men's top fantasies is?
What, Daddy?
I'm sure you're familiar with what's known as the bull cuckold hot wife scenario.
Yes. Sure, Daddy. That is very popular. Why do you think that is, Daddy?
Well, it's interesting because at the time I interviewed her, which has been a few years ago, I didn't know that. We were talking about fantasies. And she said among the people who she has as clients, the second most popular fantasy among the men was they fantasize about being a woman's cuckold and having a woman be dominant with them, but yet totally submissive to the bull.
I've, as a phone sex operator, Daddy, I've heard a lot of I'm one of the most common calls I get is men that want me to dominate them in different ways. And I've learned that there's a lot of different variations of domination. It's something that was incredibly uncomfortable for me at first. And, you know, especially humiliating somebody, I'm a sexual submissive. So even though I can connect with the fact that what they want, it's hard for me to dish that out. It isn't my personal kink. It isn't something that I personally get off on. You know, I get off on a powerful man, on somebody that's in control of me. But but I have learned a lot doing that as well, you know, sissy boys and all kinds of, like, twisted, perverted stuff. And in a weird way, that gets me off too, because somebody is sharing something with me that's so private and so personal and so kinky that that in itself is hot, you know, and that in itself makes me wet. So So there's good to that too, Daddy. But the only kind of fantasies that I have like that is I got into reading these stories about a man that's married to a good girl that is basically coerced by a slut slowly over time, you know, seduced by a slut until at the end of the stories, he's fucking the slut and his wife comes in and the slut has him tell his wife things like, you were never good in bed and I'd rather fuck this slut than, you know, ever fuck your dry pussy again. And like he criticizes his wife. And I masturbate a lot to those types of stories. And I put myself into both roles, both the seducer and the wife. And I can feed off of both those types of sexual stimulation, you know, get myself off with either of those. So I guess I can kind of understand like that's kind of a cuckold bed of a girl, which is, I don't know what that's called, but I understand the motivation. But it isn't my key necessarily, Daddy. Daddy, I like to be an obedient good bitch for you.
Say it again.
I like to be your obedient good bitch, Daddy. I love being your obedient good bitch, Daddy. I love it. I love being it. I love being your little slut and pleasing you, Daddy. Dominate me, Daddy.
Say it again.
Dominate me, Daddy. Oh, please, Daddy, dominate. Daddy, dominate me, please. Use my body, please. My pussy's so wet for you, Daddy.
Who's the fucking king?
You're the fucking king, Daddy. Oh, Daddy's the king. Oh, I want you to show me that. Daddy's the king. Daddy's the king of the sweat pussy right now.
Say that again.
Daddy's the king of sweat pussy right now. Oh, my pussy's really wet, Daddy.
Tell my listeners how wet that pussy is.
Dripping wet, Daddy. My pussy's so wet for you. The king.
Tell me how you
would
lick my balls.
Oh, I love licking balls. Oh, the king's balls. I bet they're big and tight. Pull the comb. I wonder if I could fit one in my mouth. Move it around a little. Get it nice and wet with my saliva. Make my tongue hard. Oh, all over him. Daddy likes his balls licked.
Have you licked my balls real good?
Oh, I'd like that, Daddy.
I'd even push your head down and have you licking my ass.
Oh, Daddy. So dirty. I love it. Gotta stick my tongue in your ass, Daddy. I love it. So dirty. Stick my tongue in your ass, Daddy. Lick your balls. I take my hands, just stroke your big, juicy black cock a little while I lick your balls in your ass, Daddy. Daddy, you're so dominant. Daddy, you dominate this pussy. Oh, Daddy, you're so dominant. You dominate this pussy so good. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, my pussy's wet for you.
I'm training you to love what?
Oh, you're training me to love your big, black, juicy cock, Daddy. Oh, training me to worship your cock. Worship your balls. With my mouth. Daddy.
You'd love me to fuck in my ass, wouldn't you?
Oh, God, Daddy, I would love it if you fucked my ass. Push my head down in a pillow and just fucking take it. Ruin my ass, Daddy. Take what you want. Daddy. Daddy, you made my pussy so wet for you. Daddy, I could come again for you when you're ready.
Ask Daddy, can you come a third time?
Oh, Daddy, can I come a third time, please? Oh, please, Daddy.
Ask me again.
Daddy, Daddy, do you want me to use a toy on my pussy or just my fingers? Oh, what does Daddy want?
Use a toy.
Yes, Daddy. Oh. Okay. Oh.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, I'm going to come really hard this time, Daddy. I'm so close. Can I come, please, Daddy? I can't hold it this time, Daddy, please. Please, Daddy. Please, I need to come.
Hey, Daddy, good bitch. You daddy's good bitch.
Daddy, I'm your good bitch, Daddy. Please, I'm your good bitch. You're a fucking king. Oh, Daddy's a fucking king. Oh, Daddy. Oh, God. Here we go, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Oh, come on. Squirming on my back. Oh my God. I'm totally exposed for you two. My titties are out of my nightie. And I'm playing with them. My pussy's so wet. Like, my thighs are just coated with pussy juice. Like, to my knees. Oh my God. I love that. I love that, Daddy.
You to fuck my face, Daddy.
Oh, Daddy, I want you to fuck my face. Fuck my face, Daddy, please.
Oh. You want me to slap my hard dick on your face?
I do, Daddy. I do. I want you to slap your dick on my face. Oh, yes. I'm going to suck all this pussy juice off my dildo for you, Daddy. Pretend it's your cock. I wish I was choking on your cock, Daddy. Tastes so good. My pussy tastes good, Daddy.
Ooh,
really
like
good. Daddy. Daddy's good to me. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for letting me come.
Now, going back to what we were talking about, thanks. I got a little off track, but I was going to co-sign with your statement that this human sexuality professor said that I found this interesting at the time I was in college. He said women rarely have fantasies about consensual sex. He said every now and then they do, but most of women's fantasies is like what you described. Women like fantasies about them being taken, about them being dominated, about them being coerced to have sex. Rape fantasies are one of their top fantasies. Kidnapping fantasies.
Like 24/7 sex slave fantasies, things like that. So hot. I think about that a lot. You know, I think personally, I think rape fantasies come from that kind of just evolutionary way that women are designed. Like, we are not, we present stimulation, you know, to men. We present present sex. But it's a man's job to take that, a man's job to claim that. And I think when women, at least for me, when I fantasize about being raped or dominated, it's because I want to be owned. I want somebody to want me so much that they'll take it, that my desire doesn't matter, only his does. It's pure sex. No thinking and no, you know, deciding. It's just sex. And there's something very primal and very hot about that. So I think that's why women fantasize about that a lot, personally. They're my oldest fantasies, my best friends, rape fantasies. Definitely. And I haven't met a woman yet that doesn't fantasize about that. So, yeah, I think you're right, Daddy, of course.
So if you were, say, in the midst of writing Chloe Love's one-on-one guide to hot kinky phone sex, give me two or three tips you would give to your female readers, and give me two or three tips you would give to your male readers as far as how to regularly engage in hot kinky phone sex.
Okay, that's a great question, because I think it would help a lot of women open up sexually if they had phone sex and were more comfortable with it. So I think, Daddy, the first thing that I would tell a woman is to, you know, set the scene for yourself if you have a chance. You know, go with something sexy to wear and get your pussy kind of primed. Play with yourself a little first and, you know, think about what it is that you want to get out of the phone sex before you even get into it, because we all know, like, women... For us, our sexuality starts in our minds. We're not visual as much as men are. So phone sex is something that has a lot of power over us if we do it right. But I think what happens is that women start to worry about, am I doing this okay? Or is this turning him on? Or, you know, they start to think too much. So my second piece of advice would be to just commit to it and let go. Like, just enjoy it. Like, more than anything else, you need to be able to turn off your brain and just get into the moment. And if you do that, then the guy will be happy with you and you guys will have a good time. That it doesn't matter if, you know, if your moans sound like a porn star or if you say the right things, or, you know, it matters that you're into it. And I think that's true with men in general, is men want to know that they're desired by the woman that they're with. So just the fact that you're doing it as a woman, the fact that you're willing to, like, you know, let down your guard and just be free and come for them on the phone in itself is just a really liberating thing. It'll teach you to be more vocal. It'll teach you to ask for what you want better. And it will teach you how to come on cue better, which is, you know, good if you have a sir that likes to make you come when he wants. So I think all that stuff is really good advice for men. Be patient with women and realize that their brains are running dialogue while you're trying to get them off. And if it feels awkward, it's not about you. You know, it's about something that's new, and not to take it personally. Don't take it as an ego slight if you say something and she giggles instead of moans. You know, it's a new experience for her. So whatever you can do to make her comfortable and feel more sexual, the more likely she is to be able to engage in that type of a sexual conversation with you. But, you know, you have to play that role as a man. You have to be able to get her pussy wet, you know. If you can do that, then phone sex will naturally evolve. You know, it will come out of you guys. That'd be my advice, Daddy. My pussy's always wet, especially when I have the king talking dirty to me. My pussy is always wet, Daddy. It is, too. Still soaking wet right now. You know, you were talking earlier about the girl that was dripping on the floor. I think I could probably drip on my floor right now. It's that wet. Daddy, are you stroking that big black cock? Oh, Daddy. I wish I was stroking that big black cock for you, Daddy.
Oh, say it again.
I wish I was stroking that big black cock for you, Daddy. I wish I was circling my tongue around the crown, licking it from balls to the tip and back down, taking it through tight lips, just the head, and bouncing on it a little, teasing you until you force my head down and make me take it all. That's what I want, Daddy. Daddy, I want to taste you. I want to put the head of your cock in my little mouth and slide it in and out and bounce up and down until you get frustrated with me and force my head all the way down on that big black juicy cock. Take it all. I want to feel it hit the back of my throat. And then I want you to push it just a little bit further for me, Daddy, okay? Hold my head there. Am I a good, obedient bitch, Daddy? I want to be a good, obedient bitch, Daddy. I want you to train me all the things you like, Daddy. I want to please you, Daddy. Oh, he's so dirty. So dirty and dominant. He makes me do such dirty things for him. And I just love it. Oh, I love pleasing the king. Oh, being dirty and kinky for him. Daddy's so good to me. Daddy's so good to my pussy. Oh, I'm playing with my pussy, Daddy. Oh, I'm a dirty girl. My body was made for fucking. Oh, so dirty, Daddy. My mom and stepdad know how much I like to play with my pussy. Everybody knows how much I like to play with my pussy because the slut has no control, Daddy. I love being a dirty, nasty slut, Daddy. I love being your dirty, nasty slut, Daddy. I love coming for Daddy.
Oh, say that again.
I love coming for Daddy. I love coming for Daddy. And Daddy's good, obedient bitch. This dirty girl. Daddy slut. I love it when Daddy lets me come for him. Daddy, can I come for you one more time, please? Daddy. Okay, Daddy. I'm your good, obedient bitch. I'm playing with my clit for you, Daddy, but I won't come, I promise. Because I want to be Daddy's good, obedient bitch. I want to be Daddy's good, obedient bitch. I do. I want to be good.
You want me to pull that hair while I'm fucking you from behind, don't you?
Yes, Daddy. Oh, yes, Daddy. I do, Daddy. Pull my hair and fuck me hard, Daddy. I had to stop for a second, Daddy, because I can't come yet. Daddy, I'm sorry. Okay. Daddy. I'm so close to coming, Daddy. Dad. I'm going to come for you.
You want to come for Daddy a fourth time?
Yes, please, Daddy. Please, Daddy, please let me come for you one more time. Please, Daddy, please, please.
Oh, come for Daddy. Sounds like you tremble when you come real hard.
I do, Daddy. My whole body shakes. I come. You know, Daddy, I don't want to hold back. I want to feel it. It feels so good, Daddy. It's the best thing in the whole world, coming for the King. Come here. Yeah. Oh.
Say that again.
It's the best thing in the world, coming for the King. I love it, Daddy. I love it. The King let me come 4 times for him today. I think I was a good, obedient bitch. Was I, Dad? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, I think I'm still coming, Daddy. Oh, fuck. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I think the rest of my day is going to be a total letdown after this. Holy cow. Wow. I got to come back to Earth.
Say, Daddy, you made me come real good.
Oh, Daddy, you made me come so hard. Okay. Oh. Oh. Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Oh, you played with that pussy real good for Daddy, didn't you?
Oh, I did. Oh, Daddy, my pussy's so wet for you. Oh. So good. So good. I feel really good. I'll be lucky if I can get out of bed today.
You got me stroking my dick.
Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. It's hot, Daddy. Wow, Daddy, that was a really big orgasm for me. It was really, really good, Daddy. Thank you.
Tell my listening audience how they can find your blog on the web and anything else you want them to know about, any activities you got going on, any upcoming events, any upcoming interviews, etc.
Okay, Daddy, thank you. Thank you for giving me that chance. You can find my blog. It's chloelove.com, L-U-V. And my podcast is also on my website, but you can also find it on iTunes. It's called Talk Dirty with Chloe Love. And if you'd like to hear just some samples from my podcast, you can also find me on Clamor, which is an audio site where you make short clips from your podcast. It's C-L-A-M-M-R, Chloe Love. And that way you can hear a little bit of my dirtiness and decide what episode you want to listen to as well. And that's it, because my brain is completely empty of anything but arousal and orgasm right now. So thank you, Daddy. Check out Daddy's book, Mode One. Oh, Mode One. Daddy, I love the way you say, ooh, say it again. I love the way you say it, Daddy. Oh, say it again, Daddy. Ooh, ooh. Mode One. Oh, Daddy. Oh, I love the way you say it, Daddy. Hello, Joy, Lola, and Renee. I hear your daddy's good bitches, too. Good, obedient bitches. It's nice to meet you. Daddy tells me that you guys have to play with your pussies real good for him. So play with those pussies for him, okay? Get them all nice and wet and ready for Daddy.
Okay, my obedient good bitch. That's going to wrap it up for today.
Excellent. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you, Daddy. It was fun.
All right, baby.
Bye.
Remember, listeners, join me for episode 13 when I have part 2 of my discussion on the BDSM lifestyle and the ins and outs of hot, kinky phone sex. Until then, take care. Go, 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 go.
This episode of The Erotic Conversationalist was produced by Alan Roger Curry for Mode One Multimedia Incorporated.